Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, feeding you more football, NFL Lunch style, here on this Total Request Thursday. Get your votes in, featured artist Friday at 410-583-1057. We'll play your song, we'll count your votes, we'll break that one out in about 40 minutes or so. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, NFL playoffs start on Saturday, and here to talk about that and more. From The Athletic, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show Mike Sando. Mike, good afternoon. Happy playoff Thursday to you.
Yeah, it's great. Can't wait for the games this weekend.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of, to borrow a line from Mr. D, jibber-jabbering about the most valuable player of the league. We'll let you slide on that one at least for the next 5 minutes. But who's the coach of the year in the NFL here in 2024?
That's probably Dan Campbell. I mean, I think that, their team plays in his vision so well, and they've overcome so much on the defensive side of the ball, in particular, that I think he's a great choice now. I think it may have been, before they beat Minnesota, Kevin O'Connell might have been the choice for that, but I thought O'Connell had a rough game with everything on the line in the last one, so that might tip it to Campbell for me.
Let's go back in time 3 years and look at where Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff were, and looking at where they are now, both in the playoffs. What, air quotes, comeback story has been more touching to you, Mike, Baker or Jared Goff?
I would say Baker, just because Goff, even though he, got revived, he went to a Super Bowl with the Rams. It wasn't like he'd enjoyed more success, I guess. So I think Baker's is, one that maybe people didn't see coming as much, because he had a decent year early in his career, but hadn't really enjoyed this type of team success. So he's, the way he's done it too, with, a couple of different coordinators now in Tampa, where the coordinators were not people that had ever really proven they would be great coordinators. They were new to doing it. And so I think you have to give him a lot of credit for, persevering through it. And then he's obviously got some talent.
Hey, Mike, a guy that probably should be in the coach of the year talk too is Jim Harbaugh. I mean, because he's taken a team that could never get over the hump, whether it be they seemed like they always had talent, but the coaching always killed them.
Yeah, and a clear vision for how they want to play. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the first jobs of the head coach. You can question what the vision is, but so many times you see coaches come in and they flounder around. You're not really sure what they're about. I think with Jim Harbaugh, you know right away what you're going to get. The players know what they're going to get, and that's what they are. They look at, I'll give you an example. Seattle hired Mike McDonald. Good young coach, but they're firing their OC after 1 year because it wasn't in the vision of the head coach, right? You didn't watch them play on offense and think, hey, that's how our coach wants to play. Well, you get Jim Harbaugh, you know exactly what you're getting. It's from the start consistent, and he breathes life into the quarterback. I can remember when he was with the 49ers, he was talking about how Alex Smith was elite, and some people kind of rolled their eyes, but he was building him up, and that's what he does.
Now, what would you have done, Mike, if you'd have been Philly? Would you have let Barkley play and try to break the record against the Giants?
I would say no when you have to go for over 100 yards. I think if it was a lot closer. Like the end of the game for Tampa Bay, Mike Evans was within 5 yards of getting 1,000. It meant a lot to him and the team. To me, that's totally fine. Like if Barkley needed 18 yards or something, you know, I think that's different. But when you got to go 100, you're really putting the individual over what's best for the team. I don't think that's the way to go.
Mike, do you think Lamar comes out of his kind of playoff slump?
Well, he had one good playoff game last year. So
second half.
Yeah, I think he should. The thing that worries me just a little bit is playing in division. You know, I think that when you are a difficult to prepare for team and quarterback, one of the advantages you have a lot of the time in the regular season is that people don't know how to play as well. And so, you know, I'll give you an example. Like at Washington, people have been on Cliff Kingsbury's case a little bit about, hey, second halves of seasons aren't as good. Well, he's a little bit of a, you know, he's had kind of a different offense too. And late in the year, you're playing the division. You're playing teams that know you. So that's really the only thing in the back of my mind is, you know, it's great that Baltimore kind of opened it up on Pittsburgh the last time. But the time before and the last year that Lamar started, you know, there were real close losses where Baltimore didn't score a lot. So with so much at stake, you know, legacy-wise, I think it's a little bit nerve-wracking to play a team that knows you well. You know, I was just looking, start of last season, Lamar against Steelers, 3 games, 1-2, 78 passer rating. Everyone else, 24-6, 61 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 115 rating. That's just the only thing in my mind is like, does Pittsburgh have a, you know, have a way to play him and make it another tough game?
Yeah. The only thing I would say to that, Mike, would be he did have 115 quarterback rating, and they did play at home, which they are playing this time. Now, Mike, do you think Denver has any shot at being beating Buffalo?
That's probably the one where I would favor the home team the most. It would be a real outside shot to me. You know, Buffalo's just further along, I think, in what they can do offensively. Denver is good on defense. But I would think the Bills at home would take care of business in that one.
Mike Sando, The Athletic, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Last thing for you. We danced around it. You brought up the Bills. We've talked about the Ravens. Most valuable player to you is who and why? And why is voter fatigue such a real thing?
Yeah, I don't do the fatigue thing much. You know, I try to look at, you know, each season on its own. I feel like Lamar had the MVP season, was certainly way ahead at one point. I think Josh Allen did close it and make it something you really had to look at closely in the end, but I'm not a big overthinker. You know, to me, one of the things that I thought was really distinguishing about Lamar's season, you know, especially for maybe the first two-thirds of the season, even three-fourths, was he was really winning a lot of games where their defense, special teams, were bad. And I think that was the problem for Joe Burrow this year. But Burrow didn't win those games, right? And Lamar did win them, including two against Burrow. So I think that degree of difficulty, like who, you're playing tough teams and your defense, your kicker was all over the place for part of the year. Like that just resonated with me for Lamar.
Burrow, 9 touchdowns, 1 pick against the Ravens. Lost both games. Mike Sando, The Athletic, appreciate your time. Enjoy the wild card weekend, and hopefully we'll talk to you before the divisional round, which would feature, according to Chalk, Baltimore at Buffalo.
Wow, what a game that'll be. We got to get there first, but yeah, there's going to be some good ones.
You got it.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Sando, everybody. Baltimore-Buffalo, remember, that's going to be an 8 o'clock game, either Saturday or Sunday, if, in fact, it comes to fruition. Tomorrow, don't forget, we're going to be out and about. We're going to be at the Green Valley Marketplace, Pasadena. Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Real Fan Dan's going to be there. He'll be there from 11 to 1:30. We'll be there 10 to 2. There's going to be a purple bead giveaway. It's not like Mardi Gras. You don't have to do things to get them. Just show up, and we'll give them to you. Also, while you're there, be sure to check out the Wing Bar. They got 8 flavors. You can mix them up and get what you want to do. That's Saturday, 12 to 6, and Sunday, 11 to 4. I'm already fully committed to the seafood steam pots, which are perfect for home gating. I'm getting the Raven. which is shrimp, the snow crab cluster, and the sausage with the corn and the potatoes and the onions. It's going to be delicious tomorrow as I'm housing that, watching Maryland, UCLA, and Ohio State against Texas. They have a scratch bakery, which gives you free pastries and bread and cakes and everything that you need. That's tomorrow, 10 to 2, Green Valley Marketplace, Pasadena. Come on out and say hello.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello. A lot of good players. If you want to make some money, just putting together a team for a day. Mike's going to tell you who you could probably pick. Keep in mind there is a salary cap in most of these situations, so you just can't bring in all the heavy hitters without feeling the pain trying to put that roster together. Before we get to our picks for tonight's game, to reiterate, Alex Kemp and his crew, they're going to be the officials for Saturday's game.
I don't like that, Bob.
He did the Ravens-Buccaneers game in Week 7.
Yeah.
Ravens were penalized 9 times. Ferris Bueller, 9 times. And tagged for a flag for a total 11 times. Let's see. Madubuike got a roughing the passer. Defensive holding on Stevens.
Yeah, that's one.
I mean, these are trends. I mean, Madubuike's had that happen.
And Stevens,
it's like, it's might as well just throw it before the game starts. Offensive holding, Fa'alele, Ronnie Stanley, Patrick McCary, twice.
Yeah, he's older.
Pass interference offense, likely. Illegal man downfield. Well, it's a pass. Linderbaum.
Yeah.
Well, there's a deflection there, if I'm not mistaken. Down defensive offsides, Charlie Kohler.
Charlie Kohler.
It must have been on a special teamy thing there. Offensive holding, Zay Flowers.
Damn.
And then illegal contact on Nate Wiggins, which was declined.
So we had 6 holding penalties, Bob.
And this guy's crew, 2024, offensive holding 59 times, tied for the most. False starts, 31. Remember the first game of the year against Kansas City where Ronnie Stanley had like 3 in the first drive?
Yes.
Defensive holding, 18. Delay a game, that kind of, I mean, clock runs out. You got to throw the flag, you know what I'm saying?
And, Bob, I just... like
defensive pass interference. 12.
Yeah, they averaged 3.4 holding penalties called a game. The Ravens had 6.
Yeah, so tighten that up a little bit. Nolan, if we look for an area of concern, I mean, the obvious stuff, no turnovers.
Brandon Stevens.
But penalties, man. Drive killers or drive extenders.
Yeah.
You don't want that to happen, which we've seen happen this year.
Yeah, just last Saturday against Cleveland. I mean, they were in no position to move the ball on their own. I mean, whether it was personnel, play calling, whatever it was, the weather, Cleveland was not moving the ball on Saturday. The only way they were going to score, and they scored their lone touchdown, was the product of just an abysmal drive for the Ravens defense in terms of penalties.
So tighten up in that area, and you should be in business. But Pittsburgh, are you worried? And you've said it before, Nolan, the familiarity breeds contempt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think it's going to matter at 8 o'clock. I really don't. I think the Ravens are motivated. They're running a little hot streak here, four in a row. Pittsburgh offense, like if they're playing Cincinnati, I'd be a little worried because they could match the Ravens point for point.
No doubt.
I just don't see the Steelers competing in that area at all.
That's a fair point.
Yeah. And Bob, Steelers at home, you know, with everything going their way, interceptions, penalties, turnover, the whole thing, only got 6 field goals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Again, if the Ravens score 25 or more, they win easily.
And, Norm, the other thing about that
easily.
First game?
Easily.
Pittsburgh had the ball 37 minutes.
That was forgotten, too.
22, yeah.
Ravens handed them 3 at the end of the first half.
Yep.
And took
3 off the board with the interceptions, and Lamar had a 66 quarterback rating, which is the worst of his year.
Right. He has a 66 on Saturday. Even if they win, people are going to be more pissed about him not lighting the world on fire.
Well, if they win, it's going to be defense getting turnovers again.
All right. Tonight, 7:30, Notre Dame, Penn State. It's at the Orange Bowl. Well, not the Orange Bowl. It's the Orange Bowl at Hard Rock Stadium. The Orange Bowl as a structure no longer exists. That thing
that was it was not a good area.
Demolished. Fighting Irish 1.5-point favorites in this ball game. It's our playoff picks during the regular season. Vinny won easily. And he gets the regular season wine. Now we get to the postseason. Can we get our money back or our booze back? Mick Alters for the Bobster, Yingling for Nolan. Vinny, since you won easily. Yeah, I'm annoying you. I'm kind of doing it on purpose now. Notre Dame, Penn State, Fighting Irish, 1.5 points.
Is the bet the same amount of money this time? I can't remember what we did.
We do half. So okay. 30 for the regular season, 15 a person for playoffs.
Okay. Man, inflation, man.
Like eggs.
Yeah, right. What's an egg? I can't afford them.
I'm going to take Notre Dame. I just think Notre Dame's defense will be better than Penn State's defense. And I've seen more Penn State games than I have Notre Dame games. And Leonard, I think, will be able to run the ball. And he can dink and dunk enough where if they can get 80, 90 passing yards. And pressure on Aller is going to be key. And then stopping Warren, the tight end, 44, because they'll line up him all over the field. That's what they got to shut down. But I'm going to take Notre Dame in a low-scoring game.
Well, I'm going to say this. After watching the college football playoff to this point, I just hope that we get rewarded with an entertaining game.
Yeah.
Because to this point, it's just been mostly blowouts.
Yeah, and Texas, Arizona State was the outlier.
Now, can a 17-15 game, can that be exciting? Like a low scoring?
Yeah, if it's intense.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Maybe a little chirping back and forth, some extracurriculars to spice things up. But I agree with Vinny. I'm going to go with the Irish in this one. Not high on either team, really. Yeah. Penn State's path to this point, just not battle-tested enough, in my opinion. And it's kind of a toss-up, but I'll go with Notre Dame.
Who travels better, Penn State or Notre Dame fans?
Oh, both.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, here's the thing is you look at both teams. Have they beat anybody? Be totally honest. Has Notre Dame beat anybody? You know, like the year we won it, we had to beat Miami, who was number one, USC, who was number one, Michigan. Penn State hadn't beat anybody. Nobody.
Let's see. Notre Dame won at Texas A&M to start the season.
Okay.
And, yeah, their other ranked wins, Louisville, close game, Navy trounced them.
Yeah.
And then handed it to Army as well.
I mean, like I said, you know, and look at Penn State. They lost to Ohio State at home.
Yeah, you're making good points here. They lost to Northern Penn State. No, that was Notre Dame. Lost to Northern Illinois. They lost to Ohio State. And they lost to Oregon in a very exciting close game. championship game.
Yeah.
The Big Ten, which actually benefited them when it was all said and done. I will take... I'll make it unanimous. I'll go with Notre Dame. Love's back for the Fighting Irish. Warren's a stud, as we've talked about. And Aller doesn't turn the ball over, but he doesn't make big plays.
Yeah, he doesn't run very well. Yeah. And you know what hurts him a little bit is the guy who left for the portal, that was the guy to come in and run a little bit.
Yeah. I'll take Notre Dame. Over-under's 44.5. I think that it'll push like maybe a 24-20 kind of thing.
All right. And what did PT? PT was on the under. So he's 2 days in a row here with the bets. We're going to keep track.
Well, he was wrong yesterday. Had a chance to be right, but, you know, it is what it is. NVIDIA at 81057 the fan. So Notre Dame across the board here. We'll do Ohio State, Texas, obviously, tomorrow, and start our playoff push for the wild card round. But Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, talk college football playoffs with him, give you some real and fantasy football advice. And then a funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw for Inside Access takes over at 2. And then the NFL playoffs start on Saturday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw joining us now to talk about all of that and daily fantasy advice because we're there. I mean, you want Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen trying to win you some money this weekend for Fox Sports Radio, SwollenDome.com. I Want Your Flex is the podcast. Window Nation guest hotline brings us our friend Mike Harmon. Mike, before we get to the toy store, which is sports, of course, you're out there in L.A., how's everybody doing out there with the wildfires? It's a tragic. It's horrible to watch out here on the East Coast. And, you know, hopefully everyone's all right in your world and beyond.
Seems to be an amalgam of all the horrific post-apocalyptic movies that we've been watching these many years, all nestled together. The air quality's truly gone to hell. I'm about 20 miles from, you know, where the fires truly are still, you know, raging out of control. And just down where we are, the soot, the smoke, like you go for a quick walk, even just to your car, your throat's burning. And it is really a desperate situation watching all of this go up in smoke. We've had a lot of friends and colleagues in our media world between Fox and Fox Sports Radio that have either had to be displaced for a few days, a couple who've lost everything, and then the 6 degrees of separation where, you know, as you always joke, the beautiful people, well, we've gotten to know some of those people through the years. So, you know, you see their tales across social media of loss, but all these businesses that had been established, you know, these are all thriving communities. It's not all just, hey, you know, the glitz and glamour. I mean, these are working communities and all of these longstanding little areas that have all just been torn away all along the beach. And, you know, Malibu, the next time you watch a movie, remember it as it was. You know, it's really a desperate situation. And now all the finger pointing has begun, guys. So it's going to get ugly.
Yeah, that sucks. And thoughts and prayers to everybody out there. And hoping this will be extinguished quickly enough for sure. Now, we heard during Nolan's update in regards to the game Monday night, Rams against the Vikings, what's going to be the cutoff point for Roger Goodell in the league before they decide to move this thing to Arizona?
Yeah, I would guess that you probably have till end of business day tomorrow to see what kind of progress they make. Because the big thing that's happened here is that you've had a lot of hotels and other amenities and systems that you would normally use, right, for all the visitors and all of the press and everything coming in. Well, that's being used as emergency shelter right now. You know, everybody displaced, finding places to go. Like if you were in the market for a rental or anything, like those are all gone, right? You know, hey, I've got two rooms to let. Nope, gone. And hotels, just capacity, because people just trying to find their way back. So a lot of them don't have homes to go back to, and the others may not clear, you know, because we're still looking at such a horrible air quality and just the path of destruction. Last I saw, you know, we were at 0% containment. So I got to think it's the end of Friday, and then you have to make your contingency plans stand up here.
Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, as he does every Thursday. And let's get to the postseason. And, you know, we've talked ad nauseum, quite frankly, about Josh Allen, Lamar MVP. But we were talking earlier about the coach of the year. And I guess Dan Campbell's a front runner. Kevin O'Connell, Minnesota. Vinny thinks Jim Harbaugh deserves consideration, and rightfully so. What about Sean McDermott? A lot of the expert types were picking the Bills to finish third in their division, and they clinched that thing about a month ago. A lot of turnover personnel-wise, especially on offense, but how much consideration should Sean McDermott get for leading them back to the top of the AFC North for like the 18th straight year, it seems?
Yeah, I mean, I think it ties to a lot of what we were talking about with the, you know, go straight back to the MVP voting of, what are your expectations about the team? What were your expectations for their finish, right, in that division? How many people picked the Jets to go and win? How many predicted a huge slump off? I think McDermott has one challenge here. Ready? After all his comments went public, you know, remember his motivational tactics? I think there's a likability problem with McDermott right now. Overcome. So, you know, while Harbaugh's a weirdo, I think there's a lot of positivity that goes along with that, particularly coming straight from college, turning that program around and not having to do it because Justin Herbert threw the ball for 5,000 yards. I think there's something to be said for that. Again, you know, Campbell and those guys, I think you lose out a bit because, yeah, we were expecting you to be good. Sorry, you don't get an award. Go win the Super Bowl. You can have that one.
Hey, Mike, I was in your wonderful city last weekend in Chicago, and outdoor hockey game at Wrigley Field. So
there you go.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, what do you who do you want to be your coach of the Bears?
How much time do we get? Because, you know, we're going to interview the next 37 guys that want to walk. You know, it was the take we had at the beginning of the process, right? Show me you don't know what you want. I like this is we equated it to speed dating or any of these things that you want of, all right, let's get a little smattering here of what we may like. You know, the Pete Carroll thing is interesting, right? Mm-hmm. He's built a cult, is a guy, and as much as you say, well, he's been out of the game the year, he's old, he's whatever, like, you know what, that if we're gonna keep having that whole consensus of, hey, we need people that can build culture. We need one of the Harbaughs. We need a Mike Tomlin. Now, that's a whole other question as to whether that's jump the shark, to take the old 70s Fonzie reference in. You know, we need what's been established in a Green Bay or San Francisco or now what's going on in Detroit. If we need that, then, you know, who better than Pete Carroll, right? You got him, you got, I guess, Vrabel. Beyond that, it's a giant shrug of the shoulders. Because I don't know what Ben Johnson's going to be as a head coach, right? It might be sexy. He's not bringing Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta, Jahmyr Gibbs, and the cast of, you know, Friends with him. You know, that's not happening. Like, he comes alone, and whichever, you know, assistant that he's able to bring along. So all of that to say, I really don't know. I think it's a fascinating process. Because as I've said all along, I also, if I'm one of these top head coaches, do I want to go work for Ryan Poles, who may not really have a job, and for Kevin Warren, who's supposed to be brought in as the business guy, and now seems to have his finger on everything? Not to mention McCaskey, who's, I mean, let's call it what it is. George has given us more comedy. If Saturday Night Live was still entrenched with a bunch of Murray brothers, George Wendt as a frequent guest, and the old super fans skit, they'd have a field day with him right now.
Hey, Mike, who do you like in these two college games tonight? You got Notre Dame, Penn State, and then tomorrow night, Ohio State, Texas.
Well, I mean, tonight for me, obviously, I'd like them both to lose if that were possible. All the adoptive Notre Dame people of my hometown, we've had that discussion before. And James Franklin, to me, has just become so dislikable. All he does is whine and complain. The how old are you, look at your hairline, patronizing, condescending did to Freeman. If I would have loved if he'd gotten up and given him a damn swinging neck breaker, WWE style. Because right now, he has just become insufferable. The complaining after the loss a few weeks ago. Oh, did they have to bring the band or whatever? So I hope they get their asses kicked tonight, to be honest with you. I think it'll be a close, low-scoring game. Evidently, there's a virus going through the Notre Dame locker room, so you got a lot of guys that are sick. So we'll see how much that plays into how this one rolls out. But personnel-wise, like what Riley Leonard's been doing, hoping for better from the Notre Dame rush game. As for the other, it's hard to think that you're going to see Texas play 60 minutes of good football to upend what Ohio State's doing right now.
Mike Harmon.
It's just going to be possessions that held them.
Sorry, Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. Real quick, it's one answer because we're pressed for time. You know, clock integrity work. You work national radio. Daily fantasy. You can only pick one quarterback. It's Josh Allen. Is it Lamar Jackson? Is it somebody else that you're trying to make some dough with? Maybe Baker Mayfield against that Washington D. Who's your daily fantasy quarterback for wildcard weekend?
Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. Whoa.
I go on the other side of that one. Allen and Jackson right behind. There's a million ways to play this, guys. You got the 1 week. You got the full draft your playoff teams. Just whatever you got. You know, we've only got a few more weeks of football, so find a way to make it useful. Bob, happy birthday, buddy.
Thanks,
Hope
brother.
It was a blessing.
It was awesome.
We'll get cookies in the mail.
All right, man. Be safe out there, Mike.
See you guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Guys.
Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, SwollenDome.com. I Want Your Plexus, the podcast. We'll come back. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw, Inside Access takes over too. Orioles reached arbitration figures. A couple of fancy names getting fancy raises. We'll talk about it next. Deal reached. Adley Rutschman, $5.5 million. Deal reached. Cedric Mullins, 8.725. Deal reached. Ryan Mountcastle, 6.787. Deal reached. Kyle Bradish, who we won't see hopefully, well, probably second half of the season, 2.35. Deal reached. Remember, Mullins and Mountcastle are free agents after the 2025 season. So arbitration figures exchanged, deals are reached. If you don't sign, they go to the arbitrator, and then things get a little bit interesting there. So nice raises for some Orioles there. And who knows? Trevor Rogers, we never talk about him. Maybe he'll be a missing link, Joe Woodbury, to the Orioles.
How
rotate.
Do they do that, Bob? Does each put in what the...
They say, we want this, Orioles counter with that, and then they reach a happy medium. If they don't, then an arbitrator gets involved, and he rules in favor of one.
So they didn't have to go to the arbitrator.
Nope. Reached a deal today to avoid any sort of angst.
Good job, Mr. Elias.
Hey, Nolan, any closing thoughts before we hit the road here?
No, it is good. Wasn't long ago, just a couple seasons ago, when the Orioles were, going to arbitration over
$250K with Santander.
I was going to say him. They strung Mancini along after his comeback from cancer, and Meansy had a year where they
Austin Hazy danced that dance.
So hopefully that's a thing of the past. I mean, why are we bickering over less than $1 million for these people?
Now go get the number one starter. Bolster that rotation and said bullpen. We'll be at Green Valley Marketplace tomorrow at 10 o'clock at Pasadena. Stop by, say hello. Inside Access awaits. Got Penn State, Notre Dame coming up tonight on The Fan. Let's go to the Funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Good thing started here with Don in Severna Park, who says the evolution of Justice Hill has been amazing to watch. As recently as 2 years ago, he was hardly used at all, and now has turned into such an integral part of the offense. His running, his blocking, pass catching has made this offense even more special.
I totally agree. And the thing, to me at least, he looks faster and more explosive. To me, he does. When he catches that ball and when he hits that crease, bam, he's gone.
And he's playing Saturday.
Oh, no doubt.
This one here, Mike in Severna Park says, turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. The key to the game. Looking more at the Ravens offense here, he says, as long as there's no strip sacks, the Ravens will win. Fumbles, strip sacks, Watt wreaking havoc. The only way Baltimore can lose.
I would totally agree with that. And, you know, I mean, in that first game, I mean, they were just ripping the ball out. And the Ravens were prepared. I mean, you play them your third time, you know what they're going to try to do. You're going to high and tight hold that ball if you're in traffic. And I think they'll do those things. I just, if they come out and they're having success running it like they did that last game, I think we're going to be in good shape. And Lamar's not overthrowing people. Great shape.
Chris checking in says, we may be concerned about the officiating crew in this game or maybe an influx of holding calls, but it is a double-edged sword. Steelers have to deal with it as well. I guess Chris here just hoping it's called evenly. If there's going to be a lot of penalties, a lot on both.
Well, the thing about it is when you're a team that you lead the league in penalties, you're more likely to get penalties. Because, I mean, you know, officials, they go into it too. All right, we got the number one team in the league, you know, in penalties, and we got the number 15th ranked team in penalties. So we really got to look at what they're doing.
And one last one here, texter not so high on Maryland basketball says Terps, or as they are better known, Willard's Wilters. That's a little alliteration
never heard,
for you.
Never heard that one before.
Wilters. They're going to fade out in every game, according to this texter. Playing too much one-on-one down the stretch in some of these games. Not enough team basketball going on for this texter. And he says they are just flat out not that good.
Well, we'll find out. Second half of the season starts tomorrow at home against UCLA, who's lost two in a row. And Nolan, we're burying the lead. Who we jamming to tomorrow? Featured Artist Friday.
Oh, my goodness. Joe and Woodbury's pick with the BT Express, which I don't know why he was confused that I've never heard of them. They're from the mid-70s. I'm 28 years old. Bob, you didn't even hear of BT Express.
I heard the song.
Right. But how would I know?
Yeah.
We'll all learn together tomorrow.
I'm going to have to Googleize them at some point today. We're back tomorrow, but we're in Pasadena, Green Valley Marketplace. Come out and say hello. We got all sorts of exciting things happening starting at 10 o'clock. Inside Access coming up next, followed by Penn State, Notre Dame, and the Orange Bowl. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.